Grab your Bibles. Let's go to Psalm 118. Psalm 118 tonight. And I will not preach all of this. I won't even preach all that I have here wrote down. But we'll study for just a little bit tonight. Give you something from the Word of God that I think would be a help to you this evening. Psalm 118. Again, we won't preach the whole thing, but let me read the whole thing to you, as it's our first attempt here at covering this psalm. If you're willing and able, you can stand with us. And let's begin reading in verse number 1. Psalm 118, verse number 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that His mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that His mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that His mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord. Listen to how personal this psalm gets. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord, I hope I can get this far. I doubt I can get this far. I hope I can get to verse 7 tonight. The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations can pass me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They can pass me about, yea, they can pass me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me. Let me back up. They can pass me about like bees. Verse 12, they are quenched as the fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall. But the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song and has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but He hath not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them and will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise Thee, for Thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech Thee, O Lord, I beseech Thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which has showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even under the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise Thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt Thee. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. This psalm ends now, 29 verses later, how it began. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Amen. Amen. What a psalm tonight. What a psalm, what a psalm. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, help us please tonight, Lord, to give what You'd have us to give, Lord, for this service. Lord, no way we'll tell it all tonight. We'll never tell it all in a thousand lifetimes. Lord, the depths of this psalm, but Lord, would you give us exactly what we need tonight? Help me to discern, Lord, in the Spirit, what you'd have to be said this evening. And we'll bless you and thank you for all the help you send to the people of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I think you know pretty well now, for several months we've been studying these Psalms, beginning in Psalm 113. In our series through the Psalms, we have come to the Hallel Psalms, the Hallelujah Psalms, Psalms of particular praise sung by those of the nation of Israel concerning or surrounding the Passover meal. They would sit down to observe the Passover and to celebrate that time of Israel's deliverance from Egyptian bondage, remembering what God had done for them. Throughout the course of that celebration, they would begin Psalm 113 and sing throughout that meal, sing throughout that that feast that they would enjoy all the way through to Psalm 118. And so they would sing a while and eat a while, and they would eat a while and worship a while and fellowship a while and sing some more. All the way to the end of their meal and their time together, it would end singing the psalm that we just read to you in your hearing tonight. This psalm has, as all of them, has a magnifying of the Lord Jesus Christ within it for what Christ has done. And nobody ever sung these psalms around the Passover meal like was sung the night our Lord would be betrayed and delivered into the hands of evil men and wicked men to be crucified. There is in Psalm 118 a particular note of interest, for we understand and we believe he sung the previous five psalms in the upper room the night prior to his crucifixion. But it is pointed out that before they left the upper room, that the Bible said they sung a hymn and went out into the Mount of Olives. There, in particular attention is paid to a hymn, one particular singular hymn that ended their time in the upper room. And I have no problem tonight in my heart and in my steady believing that a hymn they sang would have been Psalm 118. And no doubt throughout the course, I won't do it tonight, I won't belabor that point, but when you take Psalm 118, you'll follow the journey of Christ from the upper room all the way to Gethsemane and then to Gabbatha's whipping post. You can follow his journey step by step, Brother Jack, all the way to Golgotha's hill, and there he'll give his life. You'll follow him again back to the graveyard and lay his body there, but he won't stay dead. He'll live, thank God, he'll live, and he'll go to the very gates of glory and be with his heavenly Father, thank God, and is there tonight. And we find that all in this psalm, and that psalm of the Lord Jesus that really he could sing like nobody else could sing at. And I'd have loved to have been there that night he sang it. Can you imagine him as the sun has set and the midnight hour has been experienced? He is on his way to Gethsemane. He's on his way to his betrayal. He's on his way to bear a cross. He's on his way to be beaten and to be crucified. And yet he pauses in that journey to sing this psalm of praise and to say, this is the day the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and be glad in him. That goes beyond my comprehension and goes beyond him being able to sing in that night that this is the Lord's doings. And what is coming his way is marvelous in his eyes. And yet there is a note of rejoicing and a note of joy in a time of great sorrow
And in a day that to the eyes of humanity and to the eyes of the flesh would be a very dreadful day. In fact, let me point out in this psalm as we give consideration tonight to this psalmist, whoever he may be, it's hard to identify. My opinion would be likely David. I guess maybe I default to David being the author of these psalms when we can't pin it down. But some have said maybe Ezra or Nehemiah. Some others have said Hezekiah. And I'll let you worry about all that. We'll just say for sake of argument tonight, amen, the psalmist, okay? But notice with me, this psalmist, he's writing no doubt of a prophetical thing that should take place in the life of the Lord Jesus. But he's writing of a personal time and a personal event that is in his life. I'm interested tonight of some things that he says about, you'll see here in a moment, this particular day that he is in. And notice with me how that he describes it. He says in verse number 5 that he is distressed. He said, I called upon the Lord in distress. He is being pressed down upon. He is distressed, dealing with an anxiety that is in his mind, that is in his thoughts, and is in his spirit. And he speaks of being distressed in this day. He said in verse number 7, the Lord taketh my part with them that help me, therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. And so he's distressed, and we come to verse number 7. He says, I am hated. I am hated. There are those that hate me. They have a vitriol against me. He speaks in verses 10 through verse number 12 of being surrounded. He uses a word that is in our English Bible. It is the word compass. That there are those that have brought distress into my life and that hate me. That literally have compassed me. They have surrounded me. They're on every hand. He said they're like a swarm of bees that have been stirred up against me. And everywhere I look, they are on every side. They are 10 rows deep. As far as I can see, I am surrounded by those that would sting me and afflict me and cause pain to come to me. And so he's distressed and he's hated and he's surrounded. He said in verse number 13, he said, I am pushed down. I am pushed down. Notice what he said in verse number 13. He said, thou hast thrust sore at me. The phrase thrust sore literally means to be pushed down. You have pushed on me and weighted and burdened me, speaking of his enemies, to the point that I am literally pushed down. I have more on me than I can stand to bear. I cannot stand under this load. It has weighted me to the point that I am pushed down. There's a sense in this psalm in verse number 18. That the psalmist said about this day that he is going through, that he has been chastened. He not only has an enemy that is against him, but there is a sense in which he is aware that even the Lord's hand has been laid upon his life. He said, the Lord had chastened me sore. And I don't know all the depths of that. I don't understand all that is going on in this psalm other than to say that this psalmist understands that in his relationship with God, God is doing something in his own life. It's not just his enemies. It's not just these that are surrounding him. It's not just those that hate him. But the God that loves him is at work in his life in this time. And I want to say tonight, no chastening is, amen, seems to be enjoyable when you're going through it. But we understand that chastening is a part of our spiritual journey. that if God doesn't chasten us and his chastening has never failed in our life, then, my friend, something is wrong in our relationship with God. And we won't get in the depths of that tonight. He's distressed and hated, surrounded. He's pushed down, he's chastened. He said in verse 22, speaking of his own life, as of a stone which the builders refuse. And so we find here that he is literally rejected. That he has this sense that he has been rejected. Not everybody has rejected him, but there are some that have rejected him. There are some that have refused his fellowship. There are some that have refused him and the will of God that is upon his life. Not everybody has embraced him. Not everybody has patted him on the back. And there is an element around him in which he feels that sting and that bite of having been betrayed, or we may say tonight, that pain of being rejected. And how easy it is in our life. We have our family for us and our church for us and our preacher for us. But we get fixated sometimes upon that one or those few that seem to have rejected us. And the reason is, with rejection comes a lot of pain. And with rejection comes a lot of insecurities. And with rejection comes a lot of things that plague the mind and build up within our heart about our outlook about our own life. And man, rejection tonight, and maybe a lot of things we'll say about that in a week or two from now. But this is where the psalmist is, distressed and hated, surrounded, pushed down, chastened, and rejected. And all of this I would draw your attention to. It seems to be all heaped upon him in a single day. The Bible said in verse 24, that this is the day. And we're not talking about weeks and months and years. And we're not talking about a season or a span. All of this, Brother Riley, has come upon him in a day. It is a day. It is one singular day. And I think about this, how that one day all of this has come upon that. I think about Job and how in one singular day that Job lost everything that he had. And even in that singular day, it was bad enough to lose his possession and bad enough to lose his servant. But on that same day, he lost all the children of which God had blessed him with. All of that happened in one day. The New Testament said in Ephesians chapter number 6, speaking of our warfare and the lives that we live, that, my friend, there is an evil day, singular, that is going to come against us. I'll never forget my dad sitting me down before I'd go off to Bible college and began my training for the ministry. I was going to leave home and for the first time be out on my own. Daddy wasn't on my shoulder. And he set me down and he gave me some counsel on that day, several things, but one of those things was, son, there is coming a day, and there'll be a day in your life that it's going to look like everything is against you, and it's going to look like everywhere you look, nothing is going well. Son, be ready for the evil day. He said it comes to every one of God's children. Every one of God's children are going to have an evil day. It's going to be the darkest day of your life. It's going to feel like the worst day of your life. It's going to be the most intense day of your life. And son, make sure, amen, that you got the armor of God on for that evil day. Amen. And he taught me from Ephesians 6 about the evil day. And I think that's where this psalmist is. Amen. It appears that all of this distress and hate and surrounding of the enemy and the stings of the enemy yet and the weight of the enemy and the battle that he's in pushing him down it, and even a sense that God is working in his life through chastisement, and now there's rejection, that all of this is felt and experienced and encountered. The psalmist said, don't take my word for it. The psalmist said, this is the day. Amen. Yet I would tell you tonight, amen, that in this psalm on this day with all of this going on, he's still praising God. No matter the distress and the hate he feels at, and without going back through it, all these things, and we pointed out that this is the darkest of days that a man can experience, but he'll praise God anyway. Amen. What an illustration that. And again, back to where we began, this psalm is a depiction and a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he was going to encounter and the cross that he was going to bear it and the affliction that was going to be poured out upon him with, not over weeks, but in a single day. And yet we learn from this that if this is a psalm ultimately about the Savior, that my friend will never be any more like Jesus than when we arise to the occasion and praise the Lord on our darkest of days. Amen. If I would give a title to what we want to deal with out of this psalm, it would be this. It would be praising God or praising the Lord through your darkest days. Praising the Lord through your darkest days. Now, I know tonight that if we was just to take this psalm from the psalmist's perspective, then it would be a challenge to our heart and our life. And maybe some would say, well, you know, maybe the psalmist can do that, but I can't do that. And I don't know how to do that. And but tonight, may I say the fact that our Savior did it is challenging to our heart and our life, as he is the example of what it is to be a Christian. And so tonight, putting all the excuses aside and putting aside all the pain and all the darkness and all the things that we encounter, my friend, understand that it is possible to praise the Lord through our darkest days. Amen. The psalmist, whoever he be, is doing it. Job did it, and Jesus did it, and the Apostle Paul did it. And my friend, on and on, we find illustrations that it is possible to rise above how we feel. It is possible to look through the darkest of days. Amen. To look beyond what is horizontal. And my friend, to get our eyes on something that is upward. Amen. And still praise God, not on the brightest of days, not on the most blessed of days, not on the most beautiful of days, but to be able to praise the Lord, amen, through the darkest of days. Amen. Anybody can praise God when everything's going well. Amen. Anybody can praise on the days when, amen, you've been exalted and they're singing your praise at. And my friend, anyone can, amen, praise God when there's more money than needed in the bank, kid, and everything's good on the job and the children are all acting like, amen, decent human beings, kid, and the spouse ain't nagging on you, or, amen, or spatting with you, or, amen, whatever it is that you go through, that, amen, anybody can praise, so, amen, the most delightful days, but, amen, I'm glad, let's be honest, every day ain't the best of days. Every day, my friend, ain't sunshine and blue skies and birds singing. Amen. There are days that, amen, are dark. And there are days that seem to be, amen, in single days we think, I don't know what else could go wrong. I don't know what else could come against me. I don't know what else could surround my life. Everywhere I look, it's just darkness and conflict and opposition and hate and rejection. And everywhere I look, it just seems like there's no light at the end of the tunnel.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not telling you, I'm not preaching this tonight because I'm the epitome of this or the pinnacle of this or the great, amen, Christian example of it. I'm preaching it because it's in the Bible. But I want to learn. Brother Larry, I want to learn how to praise God on the darkest of days. Amen. Amen. I don't want to be one of these, amen, children of God that, amen, allows the day to determine whether or not I'm going to praise God. And so we must understand tonight that we can praise God through the darkest of days. Amen. Well, that's the introduction. Let me show you tonight, amen, some reasons that the psalmist was able to, amen, was able to praise the Lord through the darkest of days. Before I give them to you, let me point this out to you. Amen. The Bible said this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. I think the psalmist is saying, Brother Maurice, that your ability, amen, your practice of praising God through the darkest of days, it is going to be determined by what you're looking at, where your eyes are set. You see, you look at all, and he does that. And in the sense that it's real, all the things that we unfold from the soul. But the predominant theme of the soul, amen, is not the darkness of the day. Amen. It is the marvel. Amen. And now I'm getting 3 weeks ahead of myself. Amen. It's the marvel of what is going on in the darkest of days. Amen. Behind the darkness and in the shadows. And what can't be seen with this, he's able to get his eyes beyond that. And with the eye of faith, he said, it is marvelous in our eyes. What are you looking at tonight? Where are your eyes set? Where are your eyes cast to? Amen. You look around long enough, you're going to find all the distress you want to see. If you look around hard enough, and you won't even have to look hard. Amen. Just look forward a little bit. Somebody has hate in this world to be found everywhere. Amen. There are burdens you can see that weigh and push you down. Amen. The chastening of the Lord. Amen. You can get your eyes on that. Amen. And you'll find the grief of that. Amen. If you allow your eyes to be looking for it. Amen. You want to find rejection? Just look around a little while. You'll have no problem setting your eyes on rejection. But the psalmist is able to praise the Lord through the darkest of days, because of where he has his eyes. Amen. Amen. Well, can I give you the first point? I preach the first four verses faster than you can blink. All right. Number one, you can praise the Lord. We can praise the Lord through our darkest days because of the mercy God has afforded. I love this. He begins and ends his psalm with, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever." John Phillips said that, Brother Tim, he said, this is an envelope psalm. It begins and ends with the same expression, the same identical way it begins is how it ends. And he said one of the ideas that I'll use the word theologians or Bible students have come up with as to why these Psalms were written that way, is that when you began it and then you ended the same way, and so when you come to the end, it's a psalm that never ends. It's a psalm that just goes right back into singing it again. And so, amen. Amen, our praise for God's mercy should never end. Amen, our praise for Him should be perpetual and go on and on and on and on. That God has given us His mercy on your darkest days. Listen, amen, you think it's the darkest day you've ever been through. My friend, I'm telling you tonight, you don't know how dark it can be if you took the mercy of God out. Amen, mercy is afforded to the children of God. Amen. Oh, I'm glad this evening. Amen. Oh, I wrote it down this way. His day may be falling apart, but he can praise God anyway because mercy still flows. His day's falling apart. He didn't wake up on this day hoping and planning and anticipating at his day he would turn as dark as it is. And somebody can ask him from the outside, David, tell me about your day. He said, it looks like then it's falling apart. It's a dark day that's falling apart. But they see David, amen, with a tear in his eye. They see David with his hand in the air. They overhear the whisper come out of David's lips in this psalm. I will praise thee. I'll praise you anyway. I'll give the voice of rejoicing and salvation to the Lord. And somebody said, David, how in the world can you praise God when your day's falling apart? He'd say, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good because his mercy endureth forever. I know we've been emphasizing mercy a lot through the Psalms. Let's be honest about it, Brother Mark, but certainly we still have not said enough about the mercy of God. Amen. So as I get bored hearing all that mercy preaching, when I hate your bored tonight, I'm not bored, I'm blessed. Amen. I needed mercy the last time I preached it. I've needed mercy every day since I preached it last. I need mercy again in Psalm 118. And when you're experiencing the darkest of days in your life, it'll be mercy. It'll be mercy. It'll be you getting your eyes on the mercy of God and will keep praying. Praise coming up out of your heart. Amen. The mercy that God has afforded. And let me tell you what he has in mind. Amen. About this mercy. Amen. It ain't little mercy, by the way. Amen. This mercy is big in his life. Ain't you glad for big mercy? Amen. Number one, it was personal mercy. Amen. It was personal mercy. It was mercy that was good for Israel. It was mercy that was good for Aaron. And it's mercy that is good for all those that fear the Lord. Personal mercy. Amen. Personal mercy. I'm glad to see I may not fit into Israel. I may not, my friend, be of the house of Aaron. But I'm glad I'm of that number that fears the Lord. I've got a relationship with God. I know Him. He knows me. And Brother A.L., there is personal mercy. There was mercy for Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. There was mercy for Jacob's 12 sons. Amen. There's mercy and aid for the nation of Israel. There was mercy upon the house of Aaron. And thank God I'm glad tonight. The same God of mercy. The God that affords mercy unto the house of Israel and to Aaron is the same God that gives me mercy. It is personal mercy. And you won't praise God so long as you think, well, it's Jack's mercy and it's Larry and Pat's mercy. Oh, no, friend, it's even more near and dear than that. It is personal mercy for you. Personal mercy. I wrote it down this way, Brother Riley, it's partnered mercy. You say, what do you mean? He said here in connection to this fact of mercy that he's giving, before he even dealt with that, he said, he is good. He is good. You see, the goodness of God is partnered to the mercy of God. It's amazing. It's amazing to me that mercy has a partner. We read about it in Psalm 23:6, the closing verse of the shepherd's psalm, where David said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. They are partners that work in tandem. Amen. Where you find goodness, you find mercy. And where you find mercy, you find goodness. And the psalmist here has in mind that I'm going to praise God because of the mercy that he has afforded. And when I look around, even on my darkest days, mercy, the fact that mercy is there, reminds me of God's goodness still in my life. It's partnered mercy. It is, may I say it this way, it is present mercy. I like how the verses here read, let Israel, Brother Larry, watch it now. Let Israel, he said, and let the house of Aaron now say. It is present mercy. It is mercy that is here right now. Amen. It's not mercy that is going to be. It's not mercy that has been. And ain't you glad tonight for present mercy? Even on the darkest of days, listen, mercy is present. Mercy is there. And David would say, the Lord is on my side. He's right there with me. And where God is, his mercy is. I'm thankful tonight for present mercy. It is patient mercy. He said, for the mercy, because his mercy endureth forever. A word endureth is an interesting old English word. And we kind of think of enduring like, you know, it's just drudging on. It's just kind of, amen, holding on as much as it can. But the idea, one of the ideas behind the word endureth is that there is a patience that is at work. Ain't you glad tonight that mercy, my friend, on our darkest days, when maybe we're being a little thick-headed, maybe we're not being as spiritual as we need to be. Maybe we're not praising God like we should. Ain't you glad mercy is patient with our life? I tell you, that ought to make you praise God on your darkest days. Amen. The fact that mercy don't run out on you. Amen. Mercy don't say, well, you didn't get it the first time of trying to be good to you and the first time of trying to help you. I'm glad that mercy endures in our life. It's plenteous mercy. Again, the word and the phrase, because his mercy endureth forever. I wrote it down this way. Amen. It never runs out. And I got news for you. It not only never runs out, it don't even run low, honey. Amen. It don't even run low. Amen. It endures. It is plenteous. We're reminded in other sections of the Word of God that the mercy of our God, he's plentiful in mercy. You ain't ever had a day, amen, no matter how dark it's been, and God's mercy ever run low in your life. You always had enough mercy. You always had more than enough mercy from God to help you and to lead you and to keep you on your darkest of days. It's personal and partnered and present and patient. Thank God it's plenteous. But notice with me, it's pursuant mercy. You say, what do you mean? It's this mercy. He's going to begin with mercy. And he's going to deal with it through the first four verses. Then he'll come back to it in verse number 29. You know what that tells me, Brother Jerry? It tells me mercy followed him into everything he faced in his darkest day. Oh, I'm about to run, praise God. I'm glad it's pursuing mercy. It's mercy that'll walk through the battle with you. It's mercy that may have friend to face the darkness with you. It's mercy, thank God, that when the enemy, amen, is out there on the horizon, that mercy doesn't turn and tuck its tail and run away. That mercy said, if there's a battle, I'll be there. If there's a valley to walk through, I'll walk it with you. If there's a storm you have to encounter, I'll walk through the storm with you, because mercy pursues the children of God. Amen. Again, Psalm 23:6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. There ain't never been a day that, my friend, you may have seen the foe, you may have felt the distress, you may have known the rejection, you may have had the weight of the world crushing you and pushing you down, but there ain't ever been a dark enough day you could not turn around and see mercy was right there with you. Amen. Praise God. Praise Him, child of God. On your darkest day, amen, you say, preacher, it's all falling apart. Yeah, but mercy still flows, and mercy still follows, and mercy is still faithful in our life. Glory to God. Amen. You see, it all depends. You can have your eyes on the misery, or you can get your eyes on the mercy. Amen. And you'll see it's personal and partnered and present and patient and plenteous and pursue it. Let me say that it is preserving mercy. He said it endures forever. Amen. It is the very fact. Then He begins with mercy. He'll end with mercy. And mercy not only followed Him into the battle. Mercy not only went with Him into the darkness. It is mercy that is going to keep Him alive. I'm mindful of what Jeremiah said in his lamentation. Chapter number 3 and in verse number 22. It is of the Lord's mercies and we are not consumed. He said about the mercy of the Lord, they are new every morning. They're like the dew when you get up. A dew that's laid out all over the grass. That dew that my friend has wetted the ground. That dew, you can't walk across the yard without that dew getting all over you. That's how mercy is. Are you listening? Amen. That mercy, it's new every morning. And it's that mercy that keeps you alive. You ain't gonna die on your darkest day. I've been there where I said it. Amen. I more than felt it. I said it. There ain't no way I'm going to live. Amen. But here I am tonight, being able to preach to you about the mercy of God. You know why? Because it's preserving mercy. Amen. You ain't here because you're so super duper spiritual. You ain't here because your holiness sat and your holy life. Oh no, friend, if you look back over all the darkest of days that you've ever been through, oh, I'm telling you, amen, there's something bigger than your spirituality. There is something, my friend, that is greater than your personal holiness, and that is the mercy of God has been with you and following you and for you and in you. You and through you, it is the mercy of God that has kept you alive. Amen. The devil would have killed you a long time ago, physically and spiritually. That last thing you went through that touched you in ways nothing else has ever touched you, hurt you like nothing else hurts you. Amen. 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 Them dark days that you prayed and it looked like nothing was happening and you thought, I'm done for, I won't recover. Oh, it was mercy all along. amen, that was pushing you forward. It was mercy that sheltered you. It was mercy that strengthened you. It was mercy, praise God, that helped you make it through. And lift your hands in praise to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. I say praise Him. Praise Him on your darkest of days. He's still worthy because of His mercy. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 I want to learn how to do it. I want to learn how to get my eyes on how merciful God is. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, we love You tonight. Thank You for Your grace and Your mercy. Thank You.